Today's program is brought to you by the International Culinary Center, offering courses that range from classic French techniques in culinary, pastry, and bread baking to Italian studies to management, from culinary technology to food writing, from cake making to wine tasting. For more information, visit culinarycenter.com.
I'm Linda Palaccio, host of A Taste of the Past. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to A Few Things with Claire and Erica. This is a podcast. I'm Claire.
I'm Erica.
It's a podcast slash radio show. This is a podcast where we talk about all the things we love, all the things we've been learning, and we share them with you. It is based on a newsletter that we write every week called 10 Things, which you can sign up for on our website at ofakind.com, where you can also read the stories and shop the pieces of emerging designers in the home and fashion space.
You should do all of it. You should just spend the next couple of hours on ofakind.com.
Do it. There's tons to read, tons to buy. We want your time. We want your money.
Yeah, all
what
of
more,
it.
What more could we ask for? It's not too much, right?
Nope, not at all. So today feels like a good opportunity to talk about a topic that we wanted to talk about for a long time, which is starting business with a friend. Mm-hmm. And the reason it feels so sort of apropos today is that, well, two things. Mm-hmm.
Tell me everything.
This week is the fifth anniversary of us quitting our jobs to start ofakind, which is awesome and huge and feels like a really big milestone.
Oh my God, I remember it like it was yesterday.
Well, and also 5 years is, you know, we've talked about before, a lot of the things that you do in your life are these sort of four-year stints. Yes. You go to high school for 4 years, you go to college for 4 years, and we've done this for five. We're super seniors.
I was just thinking last night, it was funny, I'm sure you remember this too, we were meeting with somebody who we really look up to, Kristen Lee, who owns 10 Over 6, a shop in Dallas in LA. We have coffee with her whenever we go to LA and get all of her wisdom, and I remember maybe like a year ago today, we were out there having coffee with her and telling her that, you know, things were kind of a struggle. And she was like, get to the 5 year mark. She was like, when we had our business, everybody was always telling us just get to 5 years and things will start to fall in place. And magically they did.
And that was almost exactly a year ago. You're right. And 4 years did not feel like an easy moment at all.
No. And I remember thinking, I mean, I don't believe in like sayings and magical stuff or whatever, but there was something where I just really put a lot of weight in that, in part also because I really respect Kristen as a business person. But
yeah.
I remember thinking, okay, that's going to happen if we can just make it to 5 years. And I will tell you what, I wasn't sure we were at times going to make it to 5 years, and we did. And well, things really fell in place here on our 5 year anniversary, didn't they?
Yes. So the other piece of news that makes this an exciting time to talk about our business is that we just announced that we sold ofakind to Bed Bath and Beyond, which is hugely exciting for us. We're going to be able to keep growing the brand, building what we do, and have the resources to do so.
It's funny. We didn't know how to say, we were talking about it on the subway over here. Like, do we say we sold it? We were acquired by, we joined the family? Because sold it. Yeah, they're all true. We sold it in a technical sense. At the same time, we still feel 100% ownership over it because we are sticking with the brand. The brand and the company are not changing. One of the reasons that this deal made so much sense for both parties is because we both saw the opportunity to keep ofakind the same, but just grow it.
Totally. Yes. Yes.
Which is really exciting.
Hugely exciting. And I think one of the questions I get asked whenever we talk about big milestones with ofakind is like, well, are you and Claire on the same page? Like, it's basically people want to know if there's like infighting. I think.
Amazing.
And I got this question last night, which, I mean, people I think are just curious about how it works to have a business partner and what those conversations look like and you know, what we discuss and what we disagree about and what we agree about and how we deal with conflict and differing opinions and all of those factors that come with working together.
And it's so funny because I mean, I've I've never felt like our partnership is stronger than having come out the other side of going through a sale process. Totally. I was thinking the other day, I was having a conversation with somebody. Well, you were there too. We were at our Scandal book club, which is like just a scandal watching club. And we were talking about weddings and the fights people get in when they're planning weddings. And I said, I almost feel like part of the reason to have a wedding is not just to have the party, but because if you can plan a wedding with somebody and like get through the other side, that's a good sign for your marriage.
Totally.
And it's just a good exercise to be like, can you work on something big together?
With your families involved and with all of these other factors, weighing in.
I feel like selling your business is a similar thing where it's like, we've been dating for 5 years. Yes. we sold our business. I feel like we're solid. We're in this for life.
It's true.
Because it was a really challenging thing. It was thrilling. It was exciting. It was also one of the more stressful things we've ever done.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, there were so many times, like, it was really hard not to talk about it on the podcast. It was really hard not to talk about it in general.
Yeah.
We were really a hard secret to keep.
We're not great secret keepers, I think, in general. And I think
we coached each other through how to be secretive about it. We'd like give each other tips.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're on this podcast, we talk about, you know, armpit hair. So we're not great at not talking about things.
Exactly.
And so we were a true challenge for us.
And it was really exciting to be able to tell our audience that, about this next chapter for Of A Kind, and because we have been so excited about it. It is, by joining the Bed Bath & Beyond family, we are going to have the resources to fulfill a lot of the longtime dreams that we've had for Of A Kind that we've just never had the bandwidth or the resources to execute on.
Exactly.
So the response has been really exciting for us, because I think our audience knows, so much about our journey. They get it. They're excited to know that we're now going to have the opportunity to really blow it out.
Exactly. So now, beyond the sort of journey and what we put out there, we wanted to talk about the inner workings, the behind the scenes, the back end of our partnership.
Because people do ask us all the time, they're like, how do you start a business with a friend? How do you not hate each other? And obviously we want to kill each other sometimes.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's how you feel about anybody that you spend this much time with.
Husband included.
Yes, exactly.
Although we see each other a lot more than our husbands.
Way more.
Yeah, way more than we see anybody.
But, so this is something that we think about a lot and that we have a lot of thoughts on. And in the very, very early days of A Kind, we got so much advice that, don't start a business with a friend. Mm-hmm. This is a recipe for disaster. Mm-hmm. And I think that it can be. And I think that, I wouldn't say that it's always the right way to go. But I think for us, it just made a lot of sense.
And that's the thing, that whenever people ask me about it, the first thing out of my mouth is, like, with all due respect to all of my other friends, I don't think there's anybody else, any other friends I could have started a business with.
Right.
We had the type of relationship where we had similar ambitions, thought similarly about the issues we were approaching with our business, had worked together, had similar ideas about, responsibility and work ethic and things like that. And it made sense.
We had worked together in college extracurriculars that we took far too seriously. Yes. And it had
so embarrassing to think that
these were important things. I don't think we necessarily would have felt comfortable jumping into this if we didn't have a foundation that was, pseudo professional, or that we had some context of the other person's working style or how they interacted with people in that environment who weren't necessarily their friends, but who were, in a certain respect, their coworkers.
Yes. I would like to pause to give some credit to my dad, who in 2010, I guess this was like July-ish or something, that we had sort of started to come up with the idea. We came up with the idea in January, but when we really knew we were going to pursue it, he came to visit New York with my mom, and he said, just have the normal family conversation. How's the job? How's work? And I was like, it's fine, but actually I'm going to quit and Eric and I are going to start a business together. And there's like a beat and he goes, terrific. It was like, I had no idea what business we were starting. It was just like, I feel like you and Erica starting a business together is the right thing to do.
That seems like a
good next step for you. And so he was the one who was not that, he was not scared about the idea of starting a business with a friend. He was on board with it, but he knew you and he knew that, you could be relied upon.
Yes. So one of the things that we think is important if you are jumping into business with a friend is to really value that shared history that you have together, and that idea that you do know things about each other's personal lives and families, and you're never going to have a purely business or work relationship, and that's, you can use that to your benefit and be able to sort of understand what the other person is going through and pick up slack when someone's going through a tough time. And earlier this year, my aunt passed away, and not only was it wonderful to have Claire there just to be able to talk to, mm-hmm. but it was also wonderful to know that when I had to jump on the phone and talk to my parents or, you know, run out to Long Island on a Wednesday afternoon because it made the most sense to do it then, I didn't have to worry about anything. I knew that this person was covering for me and wasn't resenting me. And I think that's a hard, you know, thing to find in a business relationship otherwise.
And it's one of the many benefits of starting a business with a friend. We do regularly. Similarly, my grandmother died a couple years ago, and Erica knew her, my grandmother, really well because whenever we took a business trip to LA, we would stay with my grandmother, which you can't really ask a non-friend business partner to do. Of like, let's just save some money and shack up with my grandma for the weekend. But you were totally on
board with
it.
Anyone would stay with grandma. Surely.
I mean, that's true. Anybody who knew her, but it's that sort of thing has been an amazing perk. But it is, I think, you know, even this morning I was running late to the office and it was just shooting off a text of like, hey, I'm dealing with this thing that you know that I've been dealing with. I'll see you when I see you, and knowing that you'd get it.
Yes. Something that we did really early on, because mm-hmm. I think that there was this sort of hard transition mm-hmm. from, okay, we've been friends for, you know, so long, but how do we become business partners and what does that look like, was to define roles.
Yep.
I think we both, one of the appeals of starting a business for both of us was the sense of ownership and this sense of really being able to build something ourselves. Yep. And we had very strong opinions about certain things. But to be able to carve out who is ultimately responsible for what, who has final say on certain things, whether that be product or mm-hmm. content or press strategy or marketing or just dealing with, you know, accountants and legal and these kinds of things.
And writing, and we wrote it down.
We opened
up a Google spreadsheet and said, all right, let's do this. Because it was getting to the point where we were like, wait, who's doing what? And it gets frustrating. And we're like, all right, let's just hammer this out.
And you know, you don't want to be in that position where you're both responding to the mm-hmm. same email mm-hmm. chain and saying conflicting things or that you haven't fully, or to have to have a meeting or a conversation around every little thing, because there are so many things, especially in the very, very early days mm-hmm. that just need to be decided and moved, you know, forward with. And there isn't even a right decision. There's just a decision that must be made.
Exactly.
So there's a spreadsheet that says, you know, handling invoices with a column and a check mark by one of our names.
Exactly. I think that what follows from that, so writing that down, the other thing that we have made very clear is like, we have these silly rules, but they are how we know to be efficient, and we hammer them out really early on. So CCing each other on every single email.
Yes.
Which we never have to say, like, did you send that email? And what is the answer to this? It's in our inbox. We just know everything. And just figuring out those roles that make you feel comfortable. Another one is, you know, whoever sort of starts the email chain owns the email chain, is responsible for responding to whatever comes up, regardless of, you know, if it's clear or not.
Right.
So just saying those sorts of things, I think rules in general really help, because they need to be broken sometimes, but at least they're there and you know what's expected.
Correct. And I think, you know, related to this mm-hmm. fact that we are both CC'd on every single email mm-hmm. and, you know, that there are a lot of people who aren't clear on who does what in the company and who's responsible for what. I think that ultimately works to our benefit, but it does cause this situation where people confuse us all the time. We will respond to Clerica.
Yeah.
We will respond to Eclair. That is fun.
Someone who used to work with us created an email address that's, we shouldn't say this, we're going to get, we'll shut it down. Never email us at this address, but it's clerica@ofakind.com, and it reaches both of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, productive in a certain way. But I think, you know, it can be frustrating to be mm-hmm. confused and to feel like you don't have your own entity. And I think that's probably something that every co-founder feels.
Yes, definitely.
For sure. But I think it's also something that you can use to your advantage.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, the flip side of that is it's nice to know that people respect our partnership and see us as a unit in that way, which I think it takes a while to get to that point where, you know, you have to have enough wins and enough progress to realize like, oh, this is how it should be. And this is working. And I want that.
Yeah. And I think it's very easy in any partnership to feel insecurity around those things, to think, oh, does someone think that she's better at this than I am, or that, you know, I'm not contributing as much. And I think really making sure that you feel strong and secure in your own partnership and your own relationship is the key to letting those feelings and thoughts invade your mind and take it over.
Totally. And I think it's funny about that point. On one hand, I think that's something that just takes time where yes. you again like confidence, you know, you have enough security. Wins yeah, yeah. Where you each have, you know, your things, and then you have your things together, and over time it's obvious that the both of you are critical, but there are still moments up until, you know, all through the sale and stuff where we would say to one another, like, oh, I felt really insecure about this, or like, I don't know if what this person thinks of me. And I think sometimes just voicing it really helps, because then you realize, oh, you know, whether one we can give each other comfort or just say it out loud and realize it's kind of silly is really helpful.
I agree. And yeah. I think that, you know, that's one of the other benefits of working with a friend mm-hmm. is I think feeling really comfortable voicing those insecurities mm-hmm. and allowing that part of your friendship to sort of shine through into your business relationship.
Yep.
A few years ago, we were going through the fundraising process, which I think we could both say is one of the most miserable experiences we've ever had in our lives. Awful. We don't like it. We're not good at it. It's like the worst parts of dating.
It was the only time I ever very seriously sat down, Eric, and I was like, tell the truth. Are you thinking about quitting and giving up and like leaving the business? Because it was so miserable. I thought, why would she continue?
Why would anyone else
yeah,
do this?
Exactly.
I must be a martyr.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I think that there were a lot of times during that process in particular when, you know, it was really important to me to be able to feel comfortable saying, I hate this. Mm-hmm. I don't like this process. Mm-hmm. I'm really uncomfortable with it. I don't feel like myself when I'm doing it. And you know, it's hard and it's sad and it's frustrating and I'm anxious and I'm not sleeping, and these things to be able to voice to someone and not feel like it's making you weak at all.
Totally.
Or that there's something wrong with you for not just being able to sort of buck up and power through it, which
completely.
I think is the, you know, the way that a lot of people self-present through that moment.
Fundraising is absolutely one of the times that we both turn to each other a million times a day and said, how do people do this on their own? Like, how could you possibly get through this without, you know, because you have so many meetings that are either hysterical or awful or just
or
completely
both
yeah. or just shake your confidence. And to walk out of there and to be able to agree, yes, that was just as bad as I thought it was, and someone else is here to confirm that it was that bad is really helpful.
Right.
Should we cut to a commercial break before we tackle all the rest of
yeah,
this?
Let's
yeah,
do let's it. Do it.
Okay, bye.
You want it when you get up in the morning, 'cause it won't be long before you're dead and gone.
Yeah,
no, there ain't no telling. Yeah, we all just bet, just a plan our hand till the last stand. So tell your mama you've been spreading honey, won't you? Tell your brother you've been spreading honey, won't you? Tell your sister you've been spreading honey, won't you? Honey too, oh, won't they come along and spread some honey too?
The International Culinary Center is a proud sponsor of the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. The ICC, with locations in New York and California, provide cutting-edge education to future chefs, restaurateurs, and wine professionals. We're proud to claim Dan Barber, Bobby Flay, and David Chang among our honored alumni. This is Dorothy Cann Hamilton from Chef Story. Check out our ICC website at internationalculinarycenter.com.
And we're back. You are listening to A Few Things with Claire and Erica, and we are having a conversation about the highs and lows of having a business with a friend and how we have done it successfully,
yes.
or and how we think what tips we think other people might be able to use.
Yeah, tips and tricks for more highs than lows.
Exactly. Exactly.
So one of the things that I think is really important that we strive for. Obviously, everyone listens to us on the show only mm-hmm. hears us together.
Yes.
And we are together a lot of the time. But we try really hard to schedule time to not be together mm-hmm. And to take breaks from each other. And that's hard because of our, you know, sort of social relationship with each other. And
we've been friends since college, so that leads to a lot of mutual friends.
Exactly. And we also have a lot of friends through Of a Kind who have social things happening on the weekends and all of that. But we try to make a rule. It is not hard and fast, but that we don't see each other on the weekends.
Exactly. It's like, and of course it always gets broken, but it's again one of those things where if you just put it in place, at least you can kind of try for it. But it's one of those things of just, I mean, human nature, everybody knows you just can't spend every waking hour with someone. And so just saying like, we're going to have some scheduled time apart is good. It makes me laugh though, because we've had multiple people think we live together. We've had
hilariously.
We were telling somebody that we were going to take some time off, and they were like, oh, you're vacationing together?
We're like, no.
No, absolutely not. I think having the time apart and having the separate lives and the separate interests and the stuff like that is super helpful and healthy, and also just gives you something to talk about when you see each other.
Exactly. Work. I will say that my husband complains all the time. My husband, Thomas, complains all the time that he never gets to see Claire. And so he was going out of town for 2 weeks yesterday, and he came by the office before he left, and he was just really pleased to be able to see Claire.
Because you're like, why would we go out on a double date?
No.
We see each other plenty. We've done it like once, and I remember it was like the end. It was like a Friday night, the end of a long week, and it was like, it was fun, but we were definitely like, you just think about work, and you.
And of course, you know, those two just want to ask us questions about what's going on, and we don't want to talk about it at all, and just want to shut down.
Exactly. Just like, can we talk about anything else? It is really funny, but we do end up seeing each other a fair amount on the weekends anyway. But we try not to.
And speaking of having things to catch up on when we are back in the office on Monday, we do try to take time to just be friends and to be gossipy and to talk about, you know, nonsense and pop culture and shoes we want to buy and just silly little things, because, you know, that is part of our relationship and always has been. And it would be inauthentic for us not to continue that no matter where we are.
Exactly. And we do, you know, we the two of us go on social dates with each other that aren't related to work and do and have the conversations that are strictly about family or friends or whatever it is. And it's funny.
And it's like any marriage, basically, right? Where you have to schedule dates.
Date night.
You have to work at it. It's not going, it's not just going to become this easy, natural thing just because you're in the same room with someone all the time.
Right. And you have to say it. You have to say, thank you for being my friend, in addition to being my business partner, all that stuff. And even though you know that, and I know that, it's good, I think, to say it. And, you know, it's, again, one of these things that has just taken a long time to sort of figure out, but to realize that they are one and the same, especially because we've sort of built this business on top of our friendship. And certainly since introducing 10 things in the podcast, our friendship has become a bigger part of the business, but also knowing that it's separate, and there are other roles associated with the friendship that aren't associated with the job.
Absolutely.
Our next one, letting other people in. So similar to making time for just the two of you.
This one is certainly a work in progress for us, especially I think with co-workers and people who've worked with us over the years. And it's one of the things we strive, I think, to be better at, but making sure that the people who are part of the business don't feel like you two have a relationship that's totally separate, that they'll never have access to, and that they also have individual relationships with each of you and, you know, have things that they bond with each of you over, or just can confide in you about, or, you know, come to you with, work related.
Absolutely. I think, you know, I think you're right that it's especially relevant when speaking to a team dynamic and leading a company as this really strong alliance and making clear that it's a really strong partnership and a united front, but also saying like there's room for individual relationships and there's room for you guys to feel connected to us too. And this isn't, you know, a co-dictatorship or something like that. I don't know. But yeah, I think it's we have been so lucky to create a lot of really strong relationships as a result of a kind. I think of Lindsay Green, for example, who was on our show and she did PR for us since day one. And, you know, we love her and she's a close friend and the three of us hang out sometimes, but also we hang out with Lindsay separately. And I think it's one of those things where probably in the beginning she was like, who are these two girls who are like way too close of friends and what's the deal? And, you know, but you let other people in. It's important.
Exactly. So one of the things we haven't talked about is conflict and fighting and how to settle arguments and all
I feel like
of
this
that.
Is the one everybody's been waiting for.
Yeah.
Right?
This is, like, this is why fight? They're still listening.
After 25 minutes. I I say, so it's funny, we're using as a loose guide an article that Erica wrote about how to run a business with a friend that we can post online. And she titled this bullet, How to Fight and What It's Worth Fighting Over. And I always say that I actually think in so many ways, and this is funny, but it's very true, that my partnership with Erica is like why I had have a successful relationship with my husband and how I learned to like be in a normal relationship, and I think makes me a better wife. I know I said
maybe
this much,
there makes me a better this, wife. Yeah,
I said this a lot more articulately at a toast at Erica's wedding. But point is, I've learned a lot from her about how to have a good relationship, and one of those things is when Erica and I get pissed at each other, it's not worth saying to each other every time,
right?
Because we sit across the table from me. I mean, we sit across the table from each other. We have a couple's desk,
right?
So if we voiced every time we were annoyed with each other, it would make it really hard to like
get on with it.
Exactly. So it has made me very conscious of like, is this something where I'm just in a bad mood and it's annoying me, or that I can sort of drop because it's not a chronic problem or whatever, or is this really a thing that like is going to continue to get bigger, or if like goes unaddressed is going to keep annoying me or whatever. And I think you do the same thing.
Yes.
And it's a really good tactic, I think, in life in general, in all of your relationships, but it's especially important when working with a friend, because there's obviously so many emotions tied up in a friendship, and it can be harder to say it's just business, right?
Totally.
And so it forces you to say like, is it worth, you know, sort of screwing with the dynamic between us right now to address this little thing? And sometimes it is, and it's obviously really important to address conflict.
And I think that I have the problem where, you know, coming from the other side of things, where I'm really bad at dealing with conflict, and I will like let things sit and fester, and will just be like, well, you know, it's not that important, or it was like such a small thing, and why is it bothering me? And then, you know, you think about it for 2 weeks, and you're like, what? Like, clearly,
but sometimes if you're thinking about it for 2 weeks, that's,
well, clearly it's worth talking about at that point. And I think I've been trying to work at getting better at voicing those things and actually expressing them when it bothers me, even if there's no good reason why it does, but it does, and it's going to continue to bother me.
Exactly.
And at that point, it's worth addressing. So it's figuring out, when is it too soon or not worth talking about, but then also, you know, not letting it go become too late,
right,
or feel like it's been sitting stewing for so long that it's, you know, becomes a bigger thing than it ever should be.
Exactly. And I think, you know, having a friendship that exists underneath a business partnership is great, because it makes you emotional about the partnership, and sometimes it can hurt because the emotions are there. And so I think just thinking really carefully about what is worth addressing is important when fighting or arguing or debating or whatever.
Exactly. And we've definitely seen, I think, other people who've had business partnerships that have been undermined in certain ways by not talking about things, and, you know, trying to operate separately and to keep their business, their relationship really professional and not sharing things that were bothering them about the other person on maybe a sort of more personal level or an approach level that can just have really bad long-term effects.
The other thing that we sort of were laughing about recently is that one good way to get over conflict, or, you know, once you've like had the conversation, is to remember all of your common enemies.
Yes.
So like, no matter how pissed you are at the other person for something small, there's somebody that you guys hate so much more together as
so
a
much
unit.
More. Yeah.
We that can be a very like gratifying bond. We have a big poster in our office that says "Make the haters eat shit."
Yeah.
Which is like this good reminder of like, all, you know, of course, when you build a business, there's all these people who have, you feel like they undermine you, they didn't believe in you, they
wronged
tried to cut
you.
You down.
I'm really good at feeling wrong.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, that happens. And sometimes I think, you know, you don't want to like stew in negativity or feeling competitive or whatever, but sometimes I think it can be a really good motivating force to remember that, you know, you might be frustrated with what's in front of you or who's sitting across the table from you, but ultimately you're in this sort of fight together, or this,
well, I think that's a general, I think there's like there's a proven that's a proven office dynamic tactic in general, is this idea of bonding over common enemy.
I should say, or I'll get in trouble when I go home tonight, that "make the haters eat shit" is something my husband said to, I think, one of our employees a really long time ago, and that ended up becoming a motto.
We get posters printed every now and again on Zazzle.com.
Exactly.
So if someone says something real good, it can be hanging on the walls.
Exactly.
Okay, and then the last thing that we should really hit on is owning your personal brand of crazy.
Exactly. And just laughing about it, being able to laugh at yourself and each other.
Yes. And like knowing what those things are that you both think are hilarious about each other and taking the joke every time.
I think, you know, this is true in life, but especially in a partnership, is being able to laugh about certain things and make fun of each other about certain things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I have so many. Mine are, I have to eat every 2 hours or I just lose my mind. Like, we call it hangry.
Mm-hmm.
I have a million things, but that's the one that immediately comes to mind.
I like that you can only just think of the one.
Well, I can think because I'm obviously hungry right now and there's plates of food in front of me. And Erica is, I will say, really good about accepting this and just laughing at me and being like, yes, I know you
this
can't
is, this is happening right now.
Right now. Exactly. Yeah. Instead, and I think it takes, you know, like me being able to make fun of myself about it and her, because otherwise it would just us both be annoyed.
Where it becomes a bonding thing as opposed to,
the most annoying thing.
When we were starting to hire interns and our first hires, mm-hmm. I have really high standards about how a person should communicate about these things, what a cover letter should be like, and especially what their resume should be like.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are like under 30 and are mm-hmm. sending me a 2-page long resume, I just like throw up my hands. There's like nothing
I can do with you.
Not getting an interview. Yeah. This is all super frustrating for me. And Claire has learned to accept this like joke of a thing.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I think that is, last but certainly not least, is just being able to sort of make fun of each other about certain things that otherwise would drive you crazy.
Yeah. Thanks so much for listening.
Yeah. Thank you.
This has been a few things with Claire and Erica. This is our last show of the season, mm-hmm. but we'll be back.
Yes.
And you should catch up on the past episodes while you can. And sign up for 10 Things, our newsletter on ofakind.com in the meantime.
And you can find us on Stitcher and iTunes and just search A Few Things with Claire and Erica.
Just that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, bye.
That's the show.
See you soon.
Listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.